Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 327, part 2, the conclusion to Happy. Today is Sunday, January 19th, 2014.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Changes. Oh, I thought it would do something, but it's a bore. See, a selfish person is always unbalanced, no matter what they are. The person is selfish. They're always bored. And every once in a while, all of us have to admit we get selfish. But I'm talking about a person that's selfish all of the time. They're always bored. And then we said, being content. I think that's greatly, overrated as a virtue. It's kind of a deluded despair. It is like the feeling with which we continue to accept the substitutes without striving for the real realities in life. So striving after to be content. That's like swallowing vinegar and saying, my, this tastes good. I'm very content, and you can fool yourself into it. See, unhappiness is a hunger to get. Happiness is a hunger to give. A hunger to give. A hunger. Unhappiness is a hunger to get unhappiness, I'm talking about. But happiness is a hunger to give. Blessed, happy is the man that gives. And happy also, it says in the Bible, is the man that gives to the poor. That's what makes you happy. Think about that. Try it with your presents that you get. Try it one time. Just give one present away. A sweater, something. I was happy. You kids bought me those shoes, Reeboks. Huh? This guy came in, and I sort of, I don't know if I should give them Reeboks up. I didn't even know what that meant. What does that mean anyway? Is it some kind of Reebok-y-doo-doo shoe? You got to do a certain dance with them, or what does it mean? I don't know. But anyway, I was really happy after I gave them things away. Until I went out and stepped in a puddle of water with holes in my shoe. No. Hey, it works. It just works, folks. I mean, it always seems all the time like it won't work, but it works. Give one present away. See what happens to you. Let's say that you got a blanket for a new blankie for Christmas. A new blankie. And you've seen somebody, you know, that they didn't have a blankie. They just had a little a sheet to throw over themselves at night. He says, you know what? I got so many blankets, I don't know what to do with them. You can have my blankie, my new one. And you give your blanket away to them. And they call up and say, boy, I just want to thank you so much. I slept so good last night. Not one shiver, not one goose pimple. I was under your blankie. Didn't that make you feel good? Make you feel a whole lot better than being under that great big pile of covers when you know somebody else is out there and they didn't have a blanket. More blessed to give than to receive. But I don't have nothing to give. Find something. Find something. I'm sure you can do that. Right? You listening on the radio, I'm sure you've got nice warm overcoats and jackets and earmuffs and hats and stuff that you got jammed away you'll never use. And cribs and mattresses and all kinds of matter of things stuck up in the rafters in the garage. They make you happy up there? You have a fire, they won't make you happy. Get them out of there. They're a fire hazard. Whew. Set out each day, hallelujah, to give happiness. You know, you come in the morning, you aren't feeling just right. You come down to the mission, you don't feel happy. Oh, get the coffee. Who didn't put the coffee on? Didn't that get you when somebody forgets to put the coffee on and you got to come in? Didn't put the coffee in. Didn't set the rolls up. Huh? No, just change your attitude. Well, they didn't put them up there. I'll get the credit for it. Praise God. It's two ways of looking at things, you know. And you put the rolls up, put them on there. I came in this morning, there was literally no help here at all. Is that right, Jim? Nobody showed up. Now, I could have been real. Where are they? God. No. And then the school board comes and says, did you remember you had 33 bags that you had to pack for us? No. Nobody was here. So I didn't get unhappy. I went in and I got the bratwurst. I put the bratwurst in. And then I went ahead and we had bratwurst sandwiches today. Delicious. Delicious. And we got them from the racetrack. Imagine the racetrack giving the church bratwurst sandwiches. Ba ba boo 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 boo. Huh? Huh? They taste wonderful, let me tell you. Huh? And it's bratwurst at the turn. But anyway, we had bratwurst. I put the bratwurst on. I went and I got the chili and it was froze solid. I could have got mad. Who didn't take this thing out 3 days ahead, huh? I didn't get mad, no. I dumped it in there, and then these people came. Did you forget to pack the 33 bags? I said, yeah. I did. But we got some partial packs over here. And I had all the vegetables out here, and I says, I'll show you what to do. Put this in there, and put that in there, and put this in there. And I thought, well, now God sent me some helpers here. And they said, you know what? I didn't realize this was so much work. But you know what? They ended up being happy. Because not only did they didn't just come and pick up the bags for these people in the school system that didn't have anything, they helped pack them. And they said, my, what a well-rounded bag this is. It has everything in there that a person would ever need. I feel like I'd like to have one myself. And Roy couldn't come, so I went over there and I filled the machine up. We're going to have soup and chili today. We're going to need cups. Put the cups. Push a button. Put the next one. They're all done. Stir the chili. Check the bratwurst. Get rosemary in there. Put the cookies on. And it was all done. Janine came in and she said, well, what do I have to do? I said, go in the back. I got Rosemary back there. She's getting 50 bags of carrots. She's getting 50 bags of potatoes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She went to the back. Come up. Is that right? Got done. And then some people come in. They packed up the rest of carrots. We're all done with our carrots. Praise God. I'm happy. Happy, all the carrots are done. Don't take a whole lot for me. Isn't that right, Jim? Don't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot for Jim to be happy. Yeah, make someone else's life happier, brighter, and sweeter, not just for ourselves. A woman came in, she was a tall black lady, real tall, young gal. She came in and she said, oh, this is such a blessing getting these groceries. And she was shaking. She had little boots on, you know, had three or four little kids and had a little sweater on, a little natty little coat on, you know. And she was, this is such a blessing, you know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I said, say, we got Christmas trees outside. Praise God, Christmas trees, praise God. These were perfect. We're talking $25 to $40 Christmas trees, perfectly shaped, tied in neat little bundles, lying against the front, 200 of them. Praise God, I can't believe a Christmas tree. Oh, a Christmas tree, a Christmas tree. Oh, a Christmas tree. I hadn't had a Christmas tree in 3 or 4 years. And so then another man came in, and he says, Pastor, I got all of these bulbs and everything and trinkets for the tree. I can't use them. I got so many of them. I said, sister, here, this is for your Christmas tree.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Huh? It made me happy. Woman called up today and she says, see, I heard that you're having groceries down there on the 23rd, and my husband and I were in a real tight spot right now, and could we come down and get groceries on the 23rd, and what's the time and everything? And so I said, well, slow down a minute. We're going to do groceries on the 23rd, but on the 21st, I want you to hear this, I want to get a piece of paper and a pencil and write it down. Okay, click, 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 and she runs off and she goes, okay, just a minute. And she starts writing this down. See, she said, 21st, potatoes, 100-pound bags. Oh, praise God. My husband works, you know, but he doesn't make enough money. Oh, he doesn't make enough. She's putting her, got hysterical over a bag of potatoes. Now, I says, I want you to do me a favor, make you feel good, too. I says, I want you to get on the telephone, call 10 people, and tell those 10 people to call 10 people, and tell them to get down here and get these spuds. What, do you think there'll be any left if I do that? I says, don't worry about it. God's got plenty down here. Exciting, hallelujah. Whoa, that's what it means. Every day is sweeter than the day before. Doing it for others. And when we do this, we'll have a revelation of what happiness really is. I think happiness comes when we learn to radiate it. Instead of seeking to absorb it. It's just like you're a sponge, see, and you're waiting for happiness to come your way, and you're a great big sponge, and you're absorbing all this happiness. How about wringing yourself out and getting a fresh trip every time? How about radiating it, and then it comes to you? Well, when you smile, what comes your way? I mean, if it's a real inward smile, what comes back to you? For the most part, another smile. Right? You radiate it. Radiate it. But if you're waiting for people to smile at you, I'll wait and see. This person appreciates me. There you go. I was wondering when you were going to break down and smile at my wonderful ship. Huh? Are you going to be happy? No, you're going to be looking to absorb it all the time. Well, what can happen? Are we going to go to Florida? Are we going to go to Disneyland? Are we going to go to the Black Hills? Are we going to go? You promised, huh? Right? Aren't they miserable people? They aren't even happy thinking about getting happy. Whoa! Are you hearing this message? Ooh, don't syndicate your sorrows. What does that mean? I think the most selfish man, in other words, in the world, is the one who is the most unselfish with his sorrows. He shares them with everybody. Never leaves a single misery untold. Every time he sees you, he tells you of one of his miseries. No, you don't have to worry about it. He never leaves you behind. He gives you all of them. Here, help me suffer. From stubbing his big toe when he got out of bed, to his alarm clock that didn't go off. Well, you know what happened to me this morning? My alarm clock didn't go off. Well, big deal. I was late for work. Yeah? Okay. I went to that cafe this morning. You know what I mean? They had the lousiest coffee. Huh? It's always something. Carburetor on my car. Boy, the traffic is terrible. No wonder people are shooting each other. And that job of mine, it's lousy. And that wife of mine, she's a complainer from the word go. And that couch potato husband of mine, see, the world becomes to him a syndicate form to take stock in his private cares. He sells you stocks. Worries, all of his frustrations and trials. See, his mistake is in forming a syndicate. He should organize, I believe, a trust and control it all by himself, and then he could keep his misery all to himself. And I think life is a great serious problem for this type of a person, and we've got a lot of them right now. Because all of your greatest joys and all of your deepest sorrows come to you and you alone. You cannot describe a tremendous amount of joy. There's no way that you can describe the joy that you have within you. It's indescribably delicious. And that comes to you alone, those joys. And also, your sorrows come to you alone. And there's no way you can describe those or expect someone to understand them.
We battle continually and constantly and always against the mighty weaknesses within us alone, again alone. You're going to live your life totally alone in those instances. There's no describing. You're going to die alone. Does somebody want to die with another person? Let me die with you. No. And when you die daily, nobody wants to die with you. You got to accept, in other words, the full responsibility for your life. You're responsible for your life. What's it going to be? We're not responsible for you. Oh, we are, yes, in some way, our brother's keeper. But we don't think that way. You're responsible for the way you feel. Is someone else responsible for it? No. Are they?
You know, I'll tell you one thing. Every time I get next to that person, I get totally... Man, they just make me bottom out.
Well, it's not that person's fault. It's your fault for allowing it. Isn't it? You can't blame anybody for your life. What's it going to be? A nervous, twitching existence? Huh? Fearful? Resentful? Hateful? Critical? Well, what are you going to do with your life? Nobody can live it for you. That's why you need God. That's why you need to look on these things. Happiness comes from the Lord alone. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Whew. Let me go on here. I mean, if each person in here tonight and everybody listening to the radio or to this tape has this very mighty problem of life to solve for himself. If each one has his own cares, if each one has his own responsibilities, if each one has his own failures, and each one has his own doubts and own fears, I think we are surely playing the part of the cowards when we syndicate our sorrows to someone else. We should seek to make life brighter. Hey, what right do we have to manipulate people with our moods? Have you ever thought how many times that we manipulate one another with our moods? I say, let that go to hell. The manipulating of people by moods. The manipulating of people, period. We should go ahead with our lives in courage. Bear our own sorrow and our own trial and tribulation as an example to others. Using Jesus Christ as the example. For the joy that was before him and for the joy that's before you, these things coexist. Happiness can coexist with a hard time, with poverty. Start to forget about your failures and only remember the wisdom that you gained through them.
Well, have you ever failed where you thought you could never make it again?
Always. But you learn through that. You learn through that. Live down your griefs. Oh, we all got them. How about counting the joys and the privileges still left to you?
instead of looking at all your griefs. Oh, what a grievous thing happened to me. My God, you old people out there. And I get phone calls all the time. Oh, I just grieve over the way my children treat me. Oh, God. What will I ever do? What will I ever do? Forget about it. What's that song? Come on, forget all your troubles. Get happy. Get ready for the judgment day, huh? God's going to judge that too, you know. Are you hearing this message tonight? Put away all of our worries and regrets and face each new day and life as bravely as you can. I don't think any of us have any right to retail our sorrow through the community, house to house and block to block, and like the Wall Street Journal. Oh, I know people that give you running autobiographies. It's really not conversation at all. It's a sort of a running monologue. They study their lives sort of like a scientist, don't you know? And under a microscope, don't you know? And then they produce a movie of all of their miseries and all of their cares and all of their woes. And I didn't sleep a wink last night. Really, don't tell people you didn't sleep a wink. They don't care. Oh, is that right? Do you really care when somebody says, you know what, I didn't sleep all night last night? Do you think they really care whether you slept or not? Oh, they'll say, that's too bad. And they'll give you sort of a dumb look like, see, the attention span on the sacks and bags under your eyes is nil. They don't care. You want to tell some? You want to get somebody's attention? Tell them this is the happiest I've ever been in my life. Oh, I'm so happy. Tap dancing happy. What are you so happy about? What are you so happy about? Never mind. That's for you to find out. And you know what? They'll go all over and say, that guy's so happy. He's so happy. What's he happy about? I don't know. He wouldn't tell me. And then they'll invent things for you to be happy about. Isn't that nice? I think he's happy on account of this or that. And I think he's happy on account of this or that. But you tell somebody, I didn't sleep all night last night. The terrible pain in the back of my back and in my neck and my... They don't care. You have to live it all by yourself. Huh? Do you think people really care? I'm so broke. Not unless God puts it on their heart, do they care? Some people even use God. Will you pray for me? The rent's due. My car payment's due. We're getting thrown out of our house. Well, and then you get up and give a testimony. Will the church pray for me? I'm totally broke. They're going to cast me out into the street. You looking for a collection? Forget it. Well, they might give it to you, but they don't give it joyfully. Oh, yeah, well, who hasn't got problems? Man, I'm as broke as... Here, here's a dog. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Isn't that humorous? Isn't that us? Now we're getting down to nitty-gritty. Yeah, he'll tell you all about his woes and his cares. All about and boast about his insomnia. Oh yeah, I'm an insomniac. Is there such a word? I don't care. I'm an insomniac. Yeah, sleep 45 minutes a night. I told a guy on the phone the other day, I says, really, I don't want a medical history on you or anything like that. Just tell me of your present need right now. I don't want to hear your whole medical history. from the kneecaps up. I don't want to hear it.
I never ask some people, how's it going?
They'll answer you with a question. How's it going? You might hope for a word, maybe even a sentence, and they give you a book. Tell you about their kid problems. This kid of mine. How's it going? Well, I got this kid, see? And I don't know what to do with this kid. How about giving him to God? I mean, I don't want him. Don't give him to me. You don't even want him, right? Let's have a good laugh over this. Do you really want that kid? Are you really worried about him because of the kid or because of what the kid might make you look like? Or what's the big problem? Give that kid to God. I don't want him. I don't want to hear about him. Let's give him to God right now. Lord, and not a great big long prayer. Lord, we give this child to you. You feel better, brother? Whew, that's a burden lifted. Well, how's it going? They tell you about every ache. They tell you about how they're treated. Or how they're not treated. How they should be treated. How tired they are about being so poorly treated. How they would like to be treated, how they treat others. They tell you about their childhood. Did you know that there's nothing more boring, unless it's a cute anecdote, than someone telling you about their childhood? It's like looking at home movies. We really don't know Uncle Fred. We don't care when he comes off the porch steps and he's waving and making monkey faces. We don't know him. They tell you about every fear, what they hate, and usually it's everything. They syndicate, in other words, their problems. And if they're ill, everybody has to suffer. Ever been around somebody like that? And they're ill, the whole house has to suffer. Be quiet. Be quiet. Mom's got a cold. Mom doesn't feel good today. Hush, be quiet. Or dad isn't feeling good. And you all have to group around this person's ills. Do the people do it out of love? No. They can hardly wait for that person to get well, so they get out of the house. Go back to work. Let's tell the truth here today. There are so many miserable people, and they're miserable because they syndicate their problems and they want everybody to live under their manipulative moods. And it doesn't work. I run as fast as I can from a manipulator. Let me close this.
I think we have no right to victimize people and have them the victims of our moods. Who are we after all anyway? If illness makes you, and you're listening on a radio, makes you cross, makes you irritable, makes you hateful and mean and argumentative, then quarantine yourself. Don't you think we should have quarantines for people like that? Don't you think we should be able to tell them when they're in one of their mood, manipulative moods, saying we're quarantining you and we're taking you over to Mood Island? Before it causes a spreading. Never let anger show in your eyes. Separate yourself with your illness.
I think a lot of times people sympathize too much with themselves. Huh? They are that single sentence in humanity. They are red-lettered above everybody else. They have that suffering look. Do you think that you have a right to walk around with a suffering look? Do you realize you're infecting people? You're walking like this. The head is down. The knees are bent. The back is slumped. Do you think that you have a right to walk around like that? Do you? Do you think you have a right to walk on your heels because you're mad? Do you think you have a right? Who told you you had a right to be like that? Do you have a right to infect all the people down there at Seal Power like that? No. Isn't that right? You have people that come in and they're in a mood. Who are they, Mick? They come in there and they infect the whole bunch, pull them in the office and say, hey, you're infecting everybody in here with your mood. Now I realize you might be having some problems, but I mean, I think you need to pray about it. I'll pray with you. Either that or go on home, because you're as dangerous as someone in here that has some kind of a disease. It's going to spread through the whole place. And a lot of times religious people do that too, don't they? They get self-righteous and they spread their self-righteous, pukey mood all over the place. Do they have a right to do that? Do they? No. No, they do not. I think some people love to go about mourning. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. I hope I'm irritating somebody out there on the radio. And stop looking at each other. This message is for you. I think people take parts of their past life and they label them and they put them up in the cupboard. 1926 to 1930, 1930 to 1932, 1932 to 1942, 1942 to 1950, 1950 to 1962, 1962 to 1987. And they put it on shelves and they sort of preserve it. Put a little wax on top, you know, and press it down and preserve it for others. And they sort of bottle up all of their sorrows. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was really a hard year. Yeah, did I ever tell you about that? And they take that bottle off the shelf. Here, let me spread you some of this jam on your bread. You can eat this. Yeah, it's right here on the label. Yeah, this was my fourth husband. Yeah, oh, was he ever a sorry mess. And they bottle that all up. And they share it with everybody. Syndicating their grief. Praying around. That's their happiest moment. When the company comes over and they set the table and they're all smiley and someone brings up a date. I think that happened 1941. Oh, yes, I remember the Tommy Dorsey bands, and they sort of beat around the bush for a while, and then they go up in the cabinet, and they pull out their 1941 preserves for you, and they read the label on the back. Care for some of this? Let me spread it on good and thick. Do you think people care about that? No. See, if life has not gone well with us, if love has grown cold with us, if life has become a valley of desolation, through which we sort of drag our limbs, and drag our unwilling bodies through this miserable existence. Don't make a production out of it. Gonna take a sentimental journey, ooh. Gonna take a journey home. How many have heard that song? Wonderful. So you know why that song is still popular? Because people love to take sentimental journeys. Don't know why my life is oh so weary. Take a sentimental journey home. And then 7:07, huh? Don't go back to Pitiful Junction. Don't go back to Sorrow and Spitesville. Don't walk down that lonesome valley. Or I heard a song one time years ago. It said, I got tears in my ears from lying on my back, crying my heart out for you. Isn't that a good one? Well, who cares about this man that has tears in his dang ears? Huh? Who cares? Oh, I'm going to run right out and buy that record. It's about a guy that's got tears in his ears. It seems he was laying on his back, crying his heart out for somebody. Wow. Do you think anybody cares? You've got tears in your ears from lying on your back, crying your heart out for somebody? No. You ever hear that song, Who's Sorry Now? How many heard that song? Who's sorry now? Who's sorry now? Whose heart is breaking and making each bow? Who's sorry now? Yeah! Sorry, no. Do you ever think that? And you're out there right now, and you wait, you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry when I'm rich and famous. You'll be sorry for the way you treated me. Oh, and if you're out there, if you cease to believe and lose all of your joy and join the pessimist view, if you're joining the doubters club, if your face always looks like nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You ever heard that song? How many have heard it? If you raise your hands, I won't sing it. Well, there's one person didn't hear it, so I'll have to sing it. Oh, they just raised their hand. You're lying. Nobody knows like the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows. My sorrow. Oh, nobody knows. Oh, like the trouble eyes. Don't make a big production of it. They don't care about your sorrow. That's why they're all sitting there with plugs in their ears. Ooh. And listen, you that have come out from under grace, don't stand in the halls of the courthouse of judging everybody else about your miserable existence. Go on back into the grace fields. And if your Christian brother is hanging on by a thin rope, don't shipwreck their faith in God and humanity. Don't loosen their fingers that are barely hanging on. Don't tell them that it's all been a delusion. And if your friend lets you down, don't crawl into the tree of Darwinism and eat bananas. Don't give up on God. Seek to recover your faith. Listen to all the millions of voices that have overcome. Go out for a higher faith and trust in God, and don't advertise every hard time. Don't syndicate. Keep them to yourself until you've mastered them.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 327. That was part two, Too Happy. If you missed part one, you don't want to miss that. Go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. Also, you can find the podcast by going to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. Part one is always on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. So be sure to join us next Friday for part one of Rejoice. Have a great week, and God bless you.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Joyful, may your song always be sung, and may you